Hello, you. I'm so glad you made the really smart decision to spend a bit of time with me today learning about expansion experiments, a playful yet practical tool to help you enhance your brilliance and increase your resilience. I promise it will be worth your while because this is a tool that you've likely never considered before or considered in this particular way. Expansion experiments will help you not only accelerate your transition to the next chapters of your life or career, but also experience making those shifts with less anxiety and stress. Faster transitions, smoother transitions, and transitions done in a way that feels light and right. That's the goal. I'm Christine Aller. I've been a coach and strategist for over 20 years. During that time, I've guided big-hearted high achievers through groundbreaking chapters of their personal and professional growth. Seminal decisions, tough conversations, significant shifts, inspiring expansions. All of the guidance you will ever hear me give in this recording, on my websites, on my podcasts, etc., is guidance based on what I have tried and experienced myself. I only ever talk what I've already walked. I would never suggest to you or anyone else to do inner or outer work that I've been unwilling to do myself. I'm here as a guide to make suggestions and offer support that will help you enhance your brilliance and increase your resilience and design the next chapter of you. But what's with all this brilliance and resilience stuff anyway? Well, it's like this. You are brilliant. And I don't mean that you've become brilliant. I mean that you are innately brilliant. You were born with brilliance already in you. You've likely honed and developed it, but you came into this world with some pretty impressive gifts. Gifts that you've already utilized to reach your current level of success and satisfaction, which is no small feat. But we humans have an almost unquenchable yearning for expansion into our next frontier. Shifting to your next chapter, and the one after that, and the one after that, requires that you allow yourself to let your brilliance shine a bit brighter. And then brighter, and even brighter. But letting your light shine in all its unique glory is sometimes easier said than done, because as humans, our brilliance and our safety feel closely intertwined and not always in a good way. There's even an ancient Assyrian proverb that says, "The tallest blade of grass is the first to be cut." I mean, there's a story for you. A story designed to keep you tied to your tribe, presumably for your own safety, but also to maintain and sustain the size, unity, and longevity of the tribe itself. When you were a child, at some point, you may have determined that keeping your brilliance dimmed down was safer than letting your light shine. And you, as a child, may have been absolutely correct about that. As an adult, however, you get to reassess your relationships to your circumstances and to your communities and reassess if you still need the same level or same type of protection that your childhood self was giving you by keeping your light low. Living with your light too low eventually starts to feel awful. And it feels that way because consciously or unconsciously, you want to shine brighter. You want to design and align the next chapter of you, but your lizard brain keeps shouting some version of, "Don't do it, it's not safe," or "You'll make people feel uncomfortable and they'll kick you out of the tribe," or "All hell will break loose if you rock the boat." So you feel torn. Because your lizard brain is insisting that maintaining your safety and enhancing your brilliance are mutually exclusive. This is why a lot of folks, especially creative professionals, expend way too much energy turning their shine up and then down, and then up and then down. One of my deepest pleasures is helping smart, talented people become willing and able to turn their shine up and keep it there. How do I do that? By helping them and you increase your resilience. Resilience is defined as an ability to withstand or recover quickly from difficult conditions. When you first started becoming a professional, your focus was to get yourself a little train that you hoped would take you where you wanted to go in your life and career. After choosing your train, your attention then went to getting your train hoisted onto the tracks. Trains are heavy, and you couldn't hoist it onto the tracks by yourself, so you had to find those first few amazing folks who were kind enough to lend a hand. And then you had to find some folks who liked you enough to help you push your train out of the station until it gained a wee bit of its own momentum. Yay! They all cheered, and you were on your way. Then, at some point, your train fell off the tracks. This is not a crisis. This happens to everyone all the time. We, as humans, for all sorts of reasons, get derailed. Sometimes it's due to an unforeseeable or uncontrollable act of nature, and sometimes it's operator error. If you get caught in a blizzard and your train has to be dug out of the snow, chances are folks will rally to help you. But if your journey keeps getting slowed down because your wheels are unsteady and they keep tipping your train over, and people keep seeing you continuously throwing fits by the side of your tipped over train as you try to flag them down to help you, fewer and fewer of them will likely stop to lend a hand because they've begun to suspect that you might lack enough resilience to ever actually get where you're trying to go. Resilience can be applied to many areas: financial resilience, physical resilience, emotional resilience, energetic resilience, etc. The territory I'm focused on is your energetic resilience, your ability to consciously choose the amount of energy you wish to expend in response to difficult conditions. Which basically means, when your train gets derailed, are you going to throw a fit? And if so, how long will that fit last? And even after your train is back on the tracks, will you expend more energy beating yourself up for getting derailed in the first place? Will you stay in a mental spin cycle of who or what you should blame for the derailment? Will you replay the derailment over and over in your mind? Will you keep talking about it endlessly to others? Or do you have the mental flexibility to view the derailment from the big picture perspective, to identify the positives in the situation, to learn from any mistakes, and to use encouraging self-talk to get yourself back on track and continuing on with your journey sooner rather than later? Energetic resilience is a vital quality to have, because the more energetically resilient you are, the more at peace you will be in this crazy world. The more energetically resilient you are, the less of your precious energy you will waste, which means the more of your precious energy you will have to put towards your projects, goals, and dreams. The more energetically resilient you are, the more people will be attracted to helping and supporting you in your life and career. A side benefit of the expansion experiments that I've promised to introduce you to is that using this tool will also help you increase your mental flexibility and energetic resilience. Such a good bonus! We'll get to the expansion experiments in a moment, but first I want to explore a higher level strategic approach to designing and aligning the next chapter of you. As far as designing your next chapter goes, let me say that I am a person who loves a plan of action. Part of what I get paid to do is help folks make strategic plans of action that will work within their circumstances and best utilize their resources of time, energy, and money so that the actions they take build upon one another efficiently and effectively to move them forward in the direction that they want to go. Plans are useful, but when you're striving away, it's easy to get myopically concerned about what you are doing and how you are going to reach your goals. You can easily become someone who's always making the thing better without actually making your life better. I know from my own experience that it is very easy to grind away making the art project better, the business better, the house better, without ever coming up for air, without ever actually developing or enjoying the life part of your life. I fully understand that you have things you want to do. I do too. And having a strategic plan of action is a plus. That said, strategizing about what you want to do is level one. It's basic, totally important, but still level one. Higher level strategy is when you start designing your life and career around how you want to feel when you are doing the things you want to do, and even while you're doing the things you don't want to do. Higher level strategy is about deciding who you want to be while you are executing your plans. Higher level strategy begins with these two questions. What is the texture of the life you desire? And what is the texture of the you who is living that future life? When you imagine yourself as the person living the life that you dream of, whether that's as an actor who's number one on the call sheet, or a speaker who is requested for engagements around the world, or a chef who's running a lucrative catering business, or a mom who has nurtured a deep relationship with her kids. When you imagine yourself as the person living that future life, what do you imagine are the qualities that that future version of you has? What muscles and skills have you developed that enable you to function at that level of achievement and fulfillment? What habits does your future you have? What stories do you tell yourself when you get frustrated? How do you react to problems? How do you handle your money? How do you dress? What obligations, relationships, or issues have you let go of? How quickly can you make decisions? How do you care for yourself? How do you refill your creative tanks? And what is the texture of the life your future you leads? The texture of your work life, your home life, on vacation, when you're with colleagues, with loved ones, with family. Clearly identifying the texture of the life you desire and the texture of the you that you want to be is vital, because the main strategy for attaining your dreams, and attaining them sooner rather than later, is to draw as many and as much of those future textures into your life now. Here's some really great news. You don't have to wait for anything about your current circumstances to change in order for you to start actively designing and aligning the next chapter of you. You can begin that shift today. Even better news, once you do start bringing more and more of these textures into your current life, you will start to see your external circumstances change in positive and sometimes seemingly magical ways. Clearly identifying these textures is an essential step towards your next chapter. If you haven't recently reflected upon your desired textures, the emotions and the qualities that you want to embody and surround yourself with, schedule some time to make yourself a list. Collecting and expressing your thoughts in writing is always time well spent, because writing enables you to remove your thoughts from the spin cycle of your mind and lay them out so you can actually see them and examine them and make decisions about them with a bit of energetic detachment. So take the time to make yourself a nice, fresh list of your desired textures. Now, a lot of guidance would stop right there. Go make a list of the textures of the life you desire and the future you that you want to be. Yay! But then you're left with two things: a wonderful list of wonderful words and phrases, and a massive question. How do I actually draw those textures into my current life? That is the game-changing question. And now I'm going to share with you the game-changing approach that provides the answer. Experiment with your life. Run some expansion experiments. One definition of the word experiment is a test done in order to learn something or to discover if something works or is true. Running an expansion experiment gets you into action, and action is what activates any intellectual concept. A concept like drawing the textures of your future into your current reality. Expansion experiments will make your textures tangible. Experimenting with your life also interrupts your mental spin cycle because it gives you something to focus on and be curious about. Plus, experimenting is a playful and proactive substitute for wishing and worrying. To illustrate what I'm talking about, here's a story of an actual experiment that one of my clients did just this past summer. This client was about to begin an intensive 2-month sculpting class taught by a respected artist where the stated goal was for each student to create 30 sculptures over the course of the 60 days. My client was intensely interested in sculpting, but he'd never done it before. So part of him was really excited about the class, and the other part of him had been sucked into a mental spin cycle of anxiety and stress. He was fairly certain, and it turns out he was correct, that most of the other students would be more advanced in this medium than he was, and his lizard brain was dredging up all of the severe parental programming that was drilled into his head as a child. Most significantly, the story that if you're not the best in class and doing everything perfectly, then you're failing and you should just give up. Due in part to this childhood programming, in his adult life, he had a long history of flaking out whenever it started to look like the results of his efforts wouldn't meet the impossibly high standard of earth-shatteringly spectacular, which is one of the reasons so many of his personal and professional projects had been started but not completed. We were having a session because he was genuinely distressed that this sculpting class would become yet another part of his life that he would self-sabotage in order to rationalize excuses to quit. He could see that he was already making the experience miserable and the class hadn't even started. His negative thinking was raising the stakes of the situation. It was like he had his own hand around his neck and was slowly choking his creativity to death. We needed a way to lower the stakes so that he could release his grip. The first thing we did was we redefined the context of the entire situation. Rather than referring to it as a 2-month art class, we decided to refer to it as a 2-month experiment. Just an experiment, no big deal. We also redefined the purpose of the entire situation. Rather than it being a class about practicing sculpting in an environment where his rudimentary skill set would be on display to his classmates and his work would be judged by his teacher, we decided that from the bigger picture perspective, the purpose of the class was to provide a specific opportunity to practice drawing in the texture of the future him that he wants to be, the texture of a finisher, the texture of a man who completes projects, the texture of a man who values being his best over being the best. We also redefined the rules of the entire situation. Rather than judging his success based on the rules of the class, which were create 30 sculptures and participate in the public gallery show, We decided that the best rules for this particular experiment would be 1, give it your all. 2, allow yourself to have some fun. 3, stick with attending class until the end. 4, create as many sculptures as you can. If he was slower than everyone else and could only do a portion of the work assigned, that was fine, as long as he was having some fun and being and doing his best. And 5, don't display any of your work in the final show unless you want to. Just let me take a moment to say that rules are merely mechanisms of organization. Having the awareness that every rule doesn't carry equal weight, and that every rule doesn't carry equally severe consequences, and that every rule doesn't need to be followed, especially in a class that you're electing to take as an adult. Having those awarenesses is important because it allows you to design your life according to your priorities. Considering who my client truly is, who he truly wants to be, and what he truly wants to achieve, we had to ask which plan would help him expand into his next chapter. Spending the next 2 months following his old lizard brain programming and likely quitting? Or spending the next 2 months burning himself out trying to keep up with his more advanced classmates? Or spending the next 2 months strengthening his finishing things muscles? With this experiment, we tested a theory that his lizard brain kept whispering in his ear. You will die if something you work hard at falls flat or produces only mediocre results. Your lizard brain is dramatic because it's still trying to protect you from being eaten by saber-toothed tigers. It doesn't want you to venture outside of your comfort zone because outside of that zone is where the tigers live. So, here's what happened. My client worked really hard. He finished the class. He allowed himself to enjoy as much of the experience as he could. He completed 6 sculptures out of the 30 assigned, all of which he decided to share in the public show. He struggled with feeling genuinely disappointed that his artwork wasn't better than it was, but he also felt genuinely proud that he completed the experiment. And even though his artwork was not spectacular, he did not die. And he reported that thinking of the class as an experiment significantly reduced the pressure, which was the reason he was able to cross the finish line. If this client does several more experiments focused on actively embodying the texture of a man who completes projects, he will become a man who completes projects. And as he becomes a man who completes projects, more opportunities for wonderful projects will come his way. And the more he tests the story of, I will perish if something I work hard at is not spectacular, the sooner he will be able to permanently shift to an equally believable yet better feeling story. Something like, it's safe for me to stretch myself regardless of the outcome. Shifting to that more empowering story will enable him to make the bolder moves and take the bigger artistic risks that will shift him into his next chapter. If he keeps experimenting like this, pretty soon he will look around and realize that his next chapter has become his current reality. Here's how you can use this expansion experiment tool in 5 steps. Step 1, choose a texture from your next chapter that you'd like to draw into your current life. Step 2, select an event or an interaction with someone that provides an opportunity for you to experiment with drawing in and embodying some of that texture. Step 3, define the purpose of the experiment, its length, and its rules. Step 4, go for it. Step 5, once the experiment is over, reflect on what you learned, gained, and/or discovered. Here's an example, walking you through those 5 steps. Step 1, you decide you want to draw the textures of the calm and confident future you into your life now. Step 2, you determine that an upcoming job interview will provide an opportunity for you to experiment with those textures. Step 3, you redefine the job interview as a half-day experiment to remain fully present and outer-focused during a nerve-wracking situation. The rules by which you will evaluate your success are, number 1, you released trying to control the situation. 2, you accepted that there would be a few surprises and/or hiccups. And 3, you asked at least 3 questions of the interviewers. Step 4, you go for it. You remind yourself that future you will have many important interviews and meetings similar to this one, so today's interview is just one of many to come. You respect that future you would give herself plenty of time to prepare, dress, and get herself to the interview with a few minutes to spare, so that she could enter each room calmly and confidently. You acknowledge that future you would listen to her instincts about what would make her most comfortable on that day, whether she wanted to eat a little bit before the interview, or listen to soothing or empowering music, etc. And you would remind yourself that future you knows that you are interviewing these folks just as much as they are interviewing you. Step 5, you reflect on the results of the experiment. Did it all go perfectly? Probably not perfectly, but you noticed that you were a bit calmer and more confident than during your last high-pressure situation. And giving yourself more time to get dressed really felt good. Most importantly, though, because you used this interview as an opportunity to draw some desired textures into your current life, instead of being left with the thought that this interview only moves me forward if I get hired, you are left knowing that the experiment in and of itself moved you towards your next chapter, regardless of whether or not you get the actual job. Here's another example. Let's say one of the textures of the life that you desire is to feel fully supported. Maybe the design for your next chapter is to have an assistant. And maybe your future you has several assistants, plus several other types of wonderful folks helping her with her life and career. Currently, however, you know you are running your life based on the belief that if you can do something yourself, you should do it yourself. So, to question that belief and possibly soften it a bit, you decide to run an experiment for a month to draw in the texture of a life where you easily and enjoyably receive help and feel fully supported. You decide that during the experiment, whenever someone offers you some water, even if you already have a water bottle in your bag, you say, "Yes, please," and then allow yourself to enjoy the service being provided to you. When a store employee asks if you'd like help bringing your bags out to your car, even though you know you could manage them yourself, you say, "Yes, please," and then allow yourself to enjoy the service being provided to you, etc., etc. And to kick it up a notch, you could even challenge yourself to ask for help at least 2 times during each week of that month-long experiment. Another powerful and informative takeaway from running an experiment is that you discover what disempowering thoughts and feelings the experiment provokes within you. Some aspects to reflect on throughout an experiment and then at its conclusion are: what aspect of the experiment triggered the most resistance in you, and were you surprised by that? What aspect of the experiment made you stretch the most, and how did you benefit from that? What aspect of the experiment made you the most uncomfortable, and did you face that discomfort and breathe through it, or did you flee from it? Dig deep around those questions. Here's an example of an experiment I personally did a few years ago. One of the textures I'm always striving to bring more of into my life is autonomy, having the ability and freedom to act independently. I had always felt a bit jealous of my future me, because I knew she'd have much more socially acceptable, easy out excuses than I currently did to not have to spend Thanksgiving with my family. I was 44 years old before I got the guts to run the experiment of opting out of my family's Thanksgiving without having a legitimate, I'll be out of town spending Thanksgiving with the in-laws reason. But finally, I decided that I wanted to draw in this texture of my future me and test my lizard brain's theory that if you don't go to every Thanksgiving like a good girl, you will be forever plagued by your family's resentment that you chose to rock the boat. Part of me believed that theory and felt it would be easier and saner to just maintain the placid waters. But the other part of me knew that I would never know if that story was really true unless I ran an experiment, unless I tested what would actually happen. In the weeks between deciding that I was going to opt out of Thanksgiving and actually telling my parents that my husband and I were going to do our own thing for the holiday, my lizard brain kept my stomach in a twist. But the experiment was so worth it. No one perished, and my husband and I had a wonderful holiday on our own. We saw two movies back to back in the theater and ate the kind of meal we wanted to eat. And from that year on, double features on the big screen became our own new Thanksgiving tradition. Spending the holiday with relatives became an option, not an obligation. Running that particular experiment taught me a lot, and it was a major step in me becoming the me that I am today. And now I'm running even bolder experiments as I shift into my next chapter. Experiments are potent because they require you to be intentional, curious, and observant about your thoughts and behavior. The purpose of running an experiment is very similar to the purpose of rehearsing a speech or rehearsing a play. Speakers and actors rehearse so that the presentation that they will be making in the future becomes part of their muscle memory and comfort level now, before opening night becomes a reality. In rehearsal, speakers are pulling in the texture of the person they want to be when making their speech. In rehearsal, actors are pulling in the texture of their characters. Let me be clear that I'm not asking you to fake your life, but I am trying to get you to play around within your life a bit more, to not be so literal-minded about your current circumstances. Remember what I said earlier, you don't have to wait for anything about your current circumstances or current relationships to change in order for you to start actively designing and aligning the next chapter of you. You can begin to shift at any time because you always have the power to shift your energy within your current circumstances and shift your thoughts about your current circumstances. Experiments are a great way to stimulate those types of energetic and mental shifts. This is the aligning part of designing and aligning the next chapter of you. I define alignment as the point when what you are thinking matches what you are feeling, matches what you are saying, matches what you are doing. When your thoughts, feelings, words, and actions are all congruent, you are sending out a single, strong, energetic signal about what you want. You're communicating a unified message to yourself, to others, and to the universe, or however you'd like to define a higher power if you prefer to do so. You are not in alignment when you are saying that you want a new teaching job, yet feeling that you're really being called to work out in nature in some way, but thinking that the odds are against you changing careers at this point in time, all while not taking any action to explore any alternatives to your current teaching job. Those are called mixed signals. Instead of being focused, the energy around your next chapter is diffused and conflicted. When you are so far out of alignment concerning your vision for your next chapter and your belief that that vision is even remotely possible, a significant self-directed shift cannot take place. I specify that a self-directed shift cannot take place because there's always the chance that something external could cause your circumstances to shift dramatically and or unexpectedly, sometimes in a wonderful way and sometimes in a not so wonderful way. That said, a great deal of satisfaction and fulfillment in life comes when you're able to make self-directed shifts happen. Running an experiment is about getting yourself into closer alignment with the texture of your future you. Experiments are opportunities to ask yourself, what would my future me think in this situation? And how would he feel in alignment with those thoughts? And how would he speak in alignment with those thoughts? And how would he act in alignment with those thoughts? I'm not implying that your future you is some sort of superhero. Not at all. They are the version of you who has already developed the muscles and the qualities needed to be enjoying a higher level of success. I'm suggesting that you envision what you and your life might be like when you've developed those muscles and qualities so that you can begin to energetically align with and take action based on that version of yourself. An effective way to grow your confidence is to experiment with asking that future version of yourself for advice and see what they have to share. As humans, it's difficult to lock into perfect alignment and stay there permanently. So that's not the goal. The goal is to get yourself close and then stay close by remaining aware of what you're thinking, feeling, saying, and doing, and making constant micro adjustments to your alignment as needed. It's exactly like the physical awareness you'd need to have and the physical micro adjustments you'd need to make to remain standing on a balance beam. Honing your alignment is a continuous practice, just like maintaining a competitive level of athleticism is a continuous practice. But all of this doesn't have to be serious work. Play around with your life. I know, you're a serious adult and you take your serious adult responsibilities seriously. That's a good thing. The only reason you're even listening to or reading this is because you are serious about learning how to shift and improve. Thus, I don't have to remind you or encourage you to take life more seriously. My job is to offer you an approach that will get you where you want to go in a faster, more lighthearted, more enjoyably curious way. This world is nuts, and life as an earthling is incredibly challenging and gut-wrenching in many ways. But you have the ability to also have incredibly, incredible experiences while you're here. You have the ability to let your brilliance shine brighter and brighter, which will inspire others to courageously shine as well. You have the ability to increase your resilience so that you develop the capacity to help and sustain others as well as yourself. You have the ability to expand into your highest potential, or at least enjoy the ride of trying to get there. I dare you to experiment with experimenting. Test this approach. That's the only way you'll ever know whether or not it will work for you. And I'd love to hear about your results. You can always share them with me via my website at christineahler.com/contact. Also, you don't have to run these experiments on your own, you know. You might even like the idea of experimenting, but no, you won't do it on your own. Doing things on your own can be a slow and solitary slog. And I'm saying that as a very introverted person. I love alone time. But that's my refueling time. Even as an introvert, I know the importance of surrounding myself with coaches and colleagues who can offer me guidance and support and course corrections and ideas as I'm designing and aligning my next chapters. As I wrote in my first book, a wise person is not someone who doesn't need any help. A wise person is someone who knows the help they need and then gets it. I would add to that that a wise person isn't someone who has identified and absorbed excellent guidance. A wise person is someone who has identified and applied excellent guidance. Application is everything. Anyone who utilizes coaches, trainers, or advisors of any sort does so because they want to be stretched and encouraged and held accountable and challenged in ways that their friends and family may not be able to offer or even understand. Why are doing experiments and getting strategic guidance so valuable, even for someone as successful as yourself? Because your current life is more complex and full of more responsibilities than the one you had when you first embarked on your journey. Also, your desire to make some significant shifts, aka rock the boat, may be being met with unexpected resistance from a variety of sources, including yourself. On top of that, you're multi-talented, so you have the ability and possibly the yearning to go in several different directions, sometimes all at once. That's a lot. It can feel overwhelming, and your mind can easily get stuck in the spin cycle. And it can feel like there's no room to pull back from everything and catch your breath. Well, that's precisely what coaching sessions are for, or what mastermind meetings are for, or what workshops are for. Those are all opportunities to step out of the details of your life so that you have the space to view what's going on from a different, bigger picture perspective. And most importantly, they are commitments to yourself that you will keep because, hey, now other people are involved. Now there's an appointment on the calendar. Now there are other people who care about the experiments you are running and who want to hear about the results. Now there are other people excited to know what your next chapter holds. If you would like me to be one of those other people, there are several ways we could work together. The info for all of those options is available on my website at christineoller.com. But even if this ends up being the only time that you and I ever connect, I want to thank you for investing this time in yourself and bringing an open mind and heart to the experience. I hope you've gained some insights that you will utilize to expand and evolve throughout the rest of your life and career as a brilliant, resilient human being. You have my best wishes for continued success.